I don't feel that you made a big mistake and that Dean made a big mistake. I just feel like the DNC or the press or somebody or some group, but I mean, I just didn't see it as you making a mistake, because we watched everything and we worked for it, and I didn't see the mistake, and somebody made some decision.
The campaign, look, both parties have done everything they could to make the rules so an insurgent cannot win. I mean, the rules are stacked against you.
Right.
One of the final one, because they kept seeing a Gary Hart or John McCain pop up, was to try to scrunch the window so tight that only a famous guy with a lot of money could have it fast enough to rip through the system. Sort of what happened once Gary got going. So the game's rigged from the get-go. I mean, you know, people forget that since 1968, I think it's 61 Democrats, and I can rattle them off: Mo Udall, Frank Church, Scoop Jackson, Birch Bayh, I can keep going. 61 Democrats have run for president of the United States. Two have won: Clinton and Carter. That's it. Okay. So your odds start out at 2 and 61 the day you even announce that you're running. I mean, those are huge odds. Those are the odds for the guys that start with $10 million and the best car and the best pit crew. Walter Mondale, actually, Al Gore. I mean, they start with those kind of odds. If you're starting with $100,000, an asterisk, and a bunch of folks who, you know, have all the energy in the world and are fighting for what they believe in, but are going to, you know, their odds are not 2 and 61. They're much bigger than that. We understood that in the campaign. That's what we decided. We were going to run to win. But damn it, when we were off the field, if we upped that field early, America was going to know this one existed. Unlike the other, you know, whatever, 59, I mean, that you can barely, you know, you can barely name any of them. I mean, people know Dean for America was out there, and it's gonna live on. But no, we made mistakes. You do not say, I have a hole in my resume. I don't understand foreign policy and defense. It may be true, but you don't say it. I mean, if you're me, you don't say 4 days before Iowa, come to Plains, Georgia on Sunday and see what Jimmy Carter's gonna do, when you know Jimmy Carter's not gonna endorse you. And it sent the media into a frenzy about Jimmy Carter's, because they pulled off another miracle. Jimmy Carter's going to endorse Dean. And now I'm trying to put back in a bottle some stupid rumor started by an idiot, and the idiot's me. I mean, you know, I'm not the guy that you would have picked to run the campaign. The last campaign I run was in 1985 for city attorney of Los Angeles. Not like your first, yeah, there's a guy, let's pick him to run. I happen to be the only guy crazy enough to get in my car and drive to Burlington, Vermont, and say, okay, you know, I'll give it my best, you know. So I'm not saying that I screwed up, Dean screwed up, the campaign screwed up, that's why. I'm saying that it's all these kinds of things, and it's important for people to understand it, because it wasn't, those things all have to do with old style politics. Me screwing up on CNN, that's the old stuff. I mean, that's the gotcha politics of all the networks. Then immediately, I have a hole in my resume. That's gotcha politics happening. It was gotcha politics that took us down, whether it was the attacks that Gephardt made on television against us, the Club for Growth ads that ran in Iowa, the Republicans saying they wanted us, but they're spending $1 million to attack us in Iowa to make us not get the nomination. I think they didn't want us. Kerry and Gephardt's donors getting together to put a committee together to trash us in Iowa. Howard Dean saying something, me saying, I mean, you can't give these people ammunition when they want to kill you. And we did. You know, I did, he did. I'm not saying, you know, I don't walk around every day saying, woe is me. I mean, the one thing I will tell you in defense of the Kerry campaign, having been in in both insurgent campaigns, and I was in Walter Mondale's campaign where we got the nomination, went on, you know, people don't, I don't think people have enough understanding of what it's really like. I mean, what it really, really is like. And what it's like is you start off with a guy like Howard Dean. And in the first couple of months, frankly, the reason you take the job is because you're pretty sure you've only signed on for two or three months and you're going home, right? You know, the good news is I'll be out of here way long before another Vermont winter hits, right? You know, because that was my biggest fear, two Vermont winters. I mean, man, that would, and you take the job and you're doing it, and so is everybody else on the staff. And everybody sort of individually when they go home at night sits there and says, you know, I just hope I don't screw up. But about that time they sort of console themselves, like, you know, we're not much of anything anyway right now, and if I do screw it up, Howard's gonna, his life's gonna be messed up a little bit, but he's a big guy, he's governor of Vermont, he'll be fine. Then one day you wake up and you realize there's 650,000 people out there, and now it's like, oh man, I don't care if I screw up Howard Dean. I mean, you know, I could take that, but to mess it up for 650,000 people out there who are working their hearts out of it, if I do something stupid that costs that, oh, I just won't be able to live with myself. The problem is all that becomes exponential the day you get the nomination. That staff sits there every day and says, if I mess this up now, screw John Kerry, I could live with that. Screw the 650,000 people, I could live with that. It would hurt, but I could live with that. I would be taking down the entire party and letting the country in, which makes a campaign get more careful the higher it gets. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I mean, it's excruciating. It's why every single person who does one by the end says, I will never, ever do it again, and means it. I don't mean that. I mean, they really mean it, because there's nothing like it. I cannot explain. I mean, I don't know what in real life it explains just that ton, and it keeps getting, it's like the better you get, the heavier it gets. And so these guys, you know, it's easy for me to sit there and go, well, I wish the Kerry campaign would do this on the net or do this a little better, or they don't, where's the passion? The fact is, they're scared to death inside that place. They're working, you know, they're working, and frankly, most of them aren't running around doing a book tour. You know, I mean, no, I'm serious. They're still in there trying to make a difference. I'm trying to do that too in my own way, but I think we're just, you know, as a country, there's too many people out there who want to, you know, who didn't get involved this time. We got to get more people involved and get a better understanding of how this all really works, because it's a busted system, and unless people understand how busted up it is, I mean, I had a guy in a, I'm not even going to say the state, but it's in here, where I'll tell you right now, the one thing I would ban tomorrow morning if I could ban it is polling. I mean, forget all this negative ads, and everybody talks about we got to ban the money, we got to ban negative ads, all that stuff. Look, I'll tell you, the most horrible thing that's ever happened is polling. Why? Because if you know 80% of the people are for the war and 20% of them are against it, a lot of good people, good men, good women in office are going to go, I'm with the 80. I think it's stupid. I think it's wrong for the country, but I'm with the 80. You start wondering what would have happened if Abraham Lincoln had polling. I mean, seriously, what would the country be like? You know, how different would it be? You know, I had a guy running for office where, I'm talking like 5-6 years ago, it's the first time this started happening. I walked in, and going to shoot a commercial for him, and he says, you know, I need a commercial on abortion. And he goes, you know, so I want to do a commercial saying I'm pro-choice. I said, great. And I started tearing down the camera. He goes, well, no, wait a minute, I want to shoot another one saying I'm pro-life. No, this is actually starting to go on. I mean, not on, and why? Because when the poll came back, that's how he was going to make his decision on where he stood. And that's where our system is driving people. If when you have a poll, when both parties have polls that say the American people want a patient's bill of rights, so the Republicans aren't dumb. They put up something called a Patient's Bill of Rights. The Democrats put up a Patient's Bill of Rights. Why? Because the poll says, and now there's all these differences in the bill, but it's all called a Patient's Bill of Rights. the average American trying to figure out what's the difference. The difference was in the Democratic bill, you got to sue your HMO if they butchered you. And in the Republican Bill of Rights, you didn't get to sue the HMO if they took the wrong kidney. I mean, either way, not one person got help, not one new person got health care. And second of all, the only thing the bill really dealt with is what you got to do if they amputated the wrong leg. I mean, well, who wants, that's not health care. That's not, but America was led health care Bill of Rights is passed. This is what polling is driving, what is making us think the two parties are the same. They're not. And the details get all lost because they can focus group and test that language, and they're both looking, you know, if 98% of the people want X, they brand it that way, and they both parties trick us. I mean, neither one of them are saints, you know. And that's why I think people found so refreshing about Howard Dean.
Yes.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is I am up here trying to help the Granny D campaign because I think she represents. Because I think she represents it. This isn't about winning or losing. It's about casting a vote that matters for someone who actually espouses that we need to change this system and make it better. And that's what she's been doing. And that's why I'm so happy that you're here. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so what about
if you have a question for Granny, I'll hand the mic over to her too. But
Democracy for America, Dean's new thing, is it working? Is it?
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it seems to me.
And we need more of that. My own view is that the system's so busted that you've got to fix the system before you do. I mean, it's not an either or thing. I mean, we can do both at the same time. But I'm more believe that we've got to get to 3, 4, 5 million Americans who are as active and understanding what's going on and doing something to make a difference as a lot of people here are. Because otherwise, the real problem is eventually those people will get sucked into the system. In other words, what I'm saying is, unless there's a base of people for change out there, you get elected to city council this way.
Well, I think the people he's backing are for change. You know?
They all start. John Kerry started out for change. No, I don't. I mean, that's my point. Is I think it's a little bit. I'm for it. I support him everywhere I go, and I think it's a great thing for the governor to be doing. I'm just saying the one other step I think we need to keep doing, though, is to build this community for change, because if that is underpinning isn't there, good people, and that's what I'm saying, this is not happening because wicked people are getting elected, it's because good people get elected, but the pressures of raising the money the way it's you have to raise it, and the pressures of polls and interest groups start over time changing, and the real poison of money is where the poison really is. I mean, it's, you know, and that's what we have to, and that's why I believe, frankly, you cannot, and maybe Granny D and I differ on this. I think my own view is you can't pass a law that will change the money. There's like every good people try to do that too, McCain and Feingold. Okay, they think they change the law, they think we're going to have really, it's going to really clean things up, and then all of a sudden, I'm telling you, there's lawyers on both sides. They immediately spot the loopholes, and guys like me drive trucks through them. Okay. We are campaign finance reform. If 5 million Americans ever gave $100, it'd be $500 million. I mean, it would be $500 million. It's 5 million. There's 300 million of us. How important is getting rid of the lobbyists and saying, you don't have power anymore, and we're in charge to us? And the day we get that to happen is the day it's all over. The whole game's over. I mean, where every candidate is a Democracy for America candidate, because we've just destroyed this mechanism, anybody getting lobbying money versus people from, money from the people, is a dead man. We just expose that and do it the old-fashioned way. You know, I mean, in terms of just, but to keep thinking we're going to change, every time we've changed the rules, somebody's figured out another way to squeeze the toothpaste and make it squirt out the other side. I mean, that's what's really going on here.
Yes, now we are flooded with money after the McCain-Feingold building was passed.
Right, yeah.
Which had prices.
And she walked across America to stop it, you know. And I think that deserves our vote and our support. I mean, this is what I think about her campaign, having been around for a long time down there in Washington, is I guarantee you that 100 folks in suits and appropriately on the women's side, dress suits, will go down, will be elected to the U.S. Senate in November. I really don't think, 33 will, but it'll be 100, they'll be all back there. I really don't think that if one of them doesn't show up, the world's going to come to an end, right? You know, I mean, bad's going to happen. I do believe that if you send Granny D down there, the place will never be the same. And I think not only that, I mean, to the rest of the country, actually see that New Hampshire was willing to do that, send somebody who wasn't part of that busted up system. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to take one more question, and then I've got to start signing, and I'll answer your question if you want to come up and ask me while I'm signing.
You can blame me. I have to get him back again.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Well, you've been talking a great deal about how you successfully garnered people to send a small amount of money and raise a lot of money for Dean, and it seems like now the important thing is that we do the same thing for Granny D so that she can get elected. And I'm just wondering how those efforts are going here, because you just have the one state, I assume, to raise money with. Is it going well? I'd like to hear her out there more. I want to see her become electable. I think she is electable, but I just want this to happen, and I'm just wondering how it's going.
Mm-hmm. You answer that quickly.
Thank you very much.
I'll start sitting up here with.
You sit down and start signing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So these people want our book signed.